Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Chalk Show in progress right now. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. In the meantime, if you want to jot the phone number down to use then, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest. Our guest today from the city of Grants Pass, City Manager Aaron Kubik, and Community Development Director Brad Clark is with us. And did I get all those titles right, gentlemen?
You did. Okay. And Happy New Year.
And to you, and all of the same, and to your staff, too. We always want to thank you. Usually I get real nervous when people don't show up here until right before. But I have such confidence here that 2 minutes before airtime, I look out and you're pulling into the driveway.
That's right. You know, I've never been tardy for this radio show.
Never been. No.
And I've made almost everyone, but I think probably 3 or 4 in 13 years.
Yeah, you've just been, and I don't even have a track of those, but
yeah,
you get a gold star.
Thank you.
You get a gold star.
Thank you. Is there some kind of plaque or a little something?
What? Now you want more?
Yeah. I'll take that dinosaur you have right
You'll
there.
Have to take it, 'cause we're not giving it to you. Oh, well, it's a new year, folks. City Manager Aaron Kubik once again and Brad Clark here with us this morning. Now, I assume that initially we'd be talking a little bit about strategic planning. Is that the main thing that's happening this week?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I came here just to take a break and do the radio show to get away from it.
And
maybe I'll be able to refocus my eyes again before I hit it again. Yeah, we're really focused on strategic planning that, you know, we gear up for it weeks in advance, but the week before strategic planning, we're putting it together. It's a team effort from the X team to my colleagues in my office, just putting things together. Shout out to Karen Furk, the city recorder, who just totally helps put things together for the strategic planning session. So we're building a program for council, and it deals with having a team building session, and we're going to have the city council hear from all of the advisory committee chairs. We have over 11 advisory committees, and Bradley here has a big portion of the responsibility of advisory committees under community development, because it is extremely broad, the programs that he deals with. And after that, we'll review strategic planning itself, and they'll listen from and hear from the department directors, and we'll hear from the city council to make sure we're still on track for where we're headed in the next year to 3 years. This is a midterm review. Last year we adopted the strategic plan. This year we're not looking at readopting a strategic plan, but it's a review of the current plan. We're doing a 2-year strategic plan. So we're just giving council an update, making sure we're still on course and continuing forward. And the thing about strategic planning for the city of Grants Pass is it's extremely important to do it now at the first of the year. It's important to do that because in election years, when we have new council members coming on, we need to make sure the new elected officials have buy-in to the strategic plan that we're working on and the goals that we're working on. So it provides an opportunity for new individuals to come on board and get familiar with what our goals are and our strategies. But the other part about this is the whole system itself and the way we operate as an organization and as a community. And that is, council is identifying the goals in advance, the very first of the year, or reaffirming those goals before the city starts working on its budget. And we are starting to put numbers together, anticipate what we're looking at, and then council comes in and provides and affirms the direction we're headed, and then we adopt a budget that correlates with council's goals. So it's a great system that's put into place. It's very strategic. And it provides an opportunity for us to be extremely efficient, effective, and accomplish great things for our community.
I pulled up the agenda for that just before you arrived here, and I was the morning of Thursday, the 15th, starts with effective council training. That's going to take up most of the morning, but you don't have new councilors coming in this year.
No, we don't. So, like it says there, we're going to focus on effective councils. We're going to have great discussion together as a team to determine how we're doing, assess what we're doing well, assess some things that we can maybe improve on, and then come up with a plan on how and what we can do to work on to be the best we can to exemplify great leadership for our community.
Okay. Then in the afternoon, you start hear from all of the commission chairs.
Yes.
Okay. And that's a lot of the work that you've gone into right now is getting them prepared and knowing what you're, knowing what to expect. And Brett, I assume that you've been a part of this coming into Thursday's action.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, as Aaron mentioned, we have six or so community development citizen committees. A couple of them were sunset with a part the. Housing Advisory Committee and the Collaborative Economic Development Committee, which we had in prior strategic planning, were sunset last year, but we still have all the others. And so our citizen chairs are going to be present this week, and they're going to be able to talk directly to the council, kind of give them some feedback on what their particular committee goals and some of the accomplishments that they've had over the last year. And, you know, it's always... I think helpful for the elected officials to have this time. They can hear directly from these committee chairs who are kind of down in the weeds on these, whether it's parks or whether it's tourism or, you know, historical buildings and sites commission, whatever it might be. You know, these are the folks that are dedicating their time and volunteer to really think about these topics. And so it's fairly short. I think we have 15 to 20 minutes on each, so it'll be kind of a
you're scheduled pretty tightly from 1 to through 4:30 through 5 o'clock.
It's rapid dating here. but they've got some great things that each of these communities is working on, so it's always enlightening, I think, to hear directly from them.
All right, so it looks to me that that first day is information, and then the second day you start off with liaisons and public meetings law and more refreshing training and then a review and then putting things together.
Yes.
Okay, so that's generally what we're looking at. But this is the second year of a two-year plan. Can we look back at some of the successes or some of the accomplishments that have come out of strategic planning?
That's going to be part of this, the day two, when we talk about the strategic plan and the work plan. I'll be providing council with an update on our fourth quarter report. So that just takes a look at the last year and what we've accomplished. We have done a lot of great things. And, you know, we've dealt with a lot of big topics, but also we've dealt with a lot of smaller items that all go to help, help build the goals and that council has adopted. So, I'm excited to be able to provide that report. Because it also highlights all the work that my colleagues and the community volunteers, the advisory committees have worked on.
All right. Can you give us a hint of some of the accomplishments that we've finished in the last year or that we're working on or almost achieved?
Well, there's a number of things that we're excited about that we've been working on in the background that we're going to be able to report on. One of the things that I think I'd like to have Bradley talk about is our opportunities plan. So I'll let him highlight that one. We've got and a couple other things that he'll highlight. And that's why we have Bradley here today is there's a lot of things that, we're doing just in community development. So maybe I'd start with Bradley to have him sort of highlight some of the things that we're doing that we've accomplished. But, one of the things I want to highlight is our water treatment plant. And I want to highlight the leadership that council has provided us and the community. Our water treatment plant is key to securing good economic development and growth within the community and making sure that we have great, clean drinking water for our community and provides an opportunity for us to grow as a city. You know, we were recently doing a tour of a new facility in the industrial park, and one of the things that some of those business leaders mentioned was they were so pleased that City Council continued the progress on developing a new water treatment plant, because without that water treatment plant in place, that new water treatment plant in place, it would be extremely difficult for businesses to grow in this community. And so that's a key piece. Now, I started this conversation of water treatment plant out with the concept of wanting to highlight and thanking council for their leadership, because truly they had to go above and beyond to get this through. Part of that reason was we were to receive a $50 million brick grant, as you're aware, Chuck, and we did not get that. And however, council recognized that the water treatment plant was extremely important. It was something the community needed. And we stepped up. We looked at alternatives on how to fund the rest of it. council ultimately had to take a leadership role and make a decision to increase our water rates, the water portion of our utility bill, to make up for some of that loss. We also did some valued engineering. We found some opportunities to reduce some things, but still create a good plant for our community. And with all that in place, we're still able to continue. And as you know, if you're driving down Parkway and you take a look to your right,
lots going on over there.
There is a lot going on. So it's really exciting.
All right. Well, we're about ready to throw Brad under the bus here in a moment or two. But in the meantime, I've got to pay some bills myself. So we'll be right back. Oh, welcome back, everybody. We're sitting here talking, of course, football. Right. Absolutely. But we won't get into that. We'll just let those memories go away and root for next year. In the meantime, once again, we've got a guest today, City Manager Aaron Kubik, and Community Development Director Brad Clark here with us. And Brad, we're about ready to throw you under the bus because Aaron was referring that you've done a lot of work getting ready for strategic planning. What have you been able to accomplish going into this particular exercise?
Yeah, well, there's so much, but there's three projects in particular within community development that I thought would be great to talk about today. The first one is, as Aaron mentioned, we're calling it the North Star Opportunity Plan. North Star is kind of the moniker that the city has put on this 8-acre property that is a former community hospital there on Midland and Washington. It's a little over 8 acres. The Urban Renewal Agency purchased this property, about a year and a half ago. And mostly vacant, but, it was developed out to be a planned unit development for Smith Medical. And so they had a big detailed plan for that, never really went anywhere. But, there is Bunnell Road goes up through the middle, and there's some infrastructure there. But most of it's vacant. So it's really the largest, flattest, developable piece in North Grants Pass that has basically ready to go in terms of infrastructure. You don't need to bring any major utilities to it. So in terms of the project itself, so the Urban Renewal Board approved a contract very recently with a consulting firm called First 40 Feet. And they specialize in assisting communities with, large scale community engagement. So we have hired them. We're going to have a kickoff meeting with them next week. And the purpose is really to take the next 10 months or so and have a very broad engagement. Yeah, we will focus particularly around sort of that mile radius around the property there at Midland and Washington. But we're also, it's going to be community wide because it's, on 8 acres, you can do a lot. And, so it's envisioned, to be whatever the community wants, to be honest with you. I mean, I think some people question me, says, yeah, right. You guys already have plans for it. You're just going through this whole process just to, kind of satisfy with whatever. But that's really honestly not true. I mean, there has been no specific use identified. There's just so much that could be there. Now, yes, it's a long-term project. But because of that is why, the council, city has chosen to, to put $150,000 into this process to make sure that we do it right, do it thoroughly, and really try to assess what the opportunities are for the foreseeable future on that property. So we'll be kicking that off soon. There'll be workshops where there's going to be designs presented as people give their ideas. Then we have architects that are going to be able to kind of do rough sketches of those and bring some visuals back to the community so they can kind of see what it might look like. If they don't like it, we'll come back to the table and bring back some other sketches and say, oh, well, this is what the new idea would look like. So I think it'll be a fun project.
All right, you say a mile radius from that includes most of the area, doesn't it?
Yes. I mean, I think the real impact area for a project like this would probably be, about a mile and a half. But, I mean, it depends on what goes there, right?
That's highly visible, though. It's in Northwest Washington, highly traveled north to south. So it involves a whole community.
Right. Well, and there is some frontage on 6th itself. Mm-hmm. This project, the property starts just as you pass Dairy Queen. It's right on the right-hand side there, and then it goes in. So there's, there are some businesses there now that are very sort of integrated into this project. We'll certainly be working with them closely because, they have properties that are basically like interwoven into this project almost. So there'll be a lot of conversations with those property owners. Concurrent with what the visioning process is, we are also doing a commercial market analysis. As anybody that, has been here just even a few weeks knows, we're highly impacted by the regional economy. And so a project like this really we want to see what are the market opportunities, whether it's office, probably not office, because there's a lot of lack of absorption in the office market right now, but maybe, something related to entertainment, something for housing, something for, other service industries, financial or insurance or, whatever it might be, kind of help to look at those broad categories. And then our economist is going to kind of look at both the Grants Pass local economy as well as the whole Southern Oregon and Northern California and see what opportunities there might be for certain sectors, and then come back with a very detailed analysis of what that is. So those are kind of the two parts to what this project is, the public visioning process and then also the commercial market piece.
Yeah, the economic drivers that would go along citywide, along with what's going to be happening specifically on that particular area. And the consultant will be on the ground here next week, did you say?
Yes. Well, the kickoff meeting with them is technically remote.
They'll be coming virtual.
They'll be coming down, I think, at least 3 or 4 times over the next 10 months, though.
All right. Well, we'll be waiting anxiously for word on that. Drive by it every day, and I know a lot of people do. So in the meantime, I don't know. I just, as a kid, anytime I saw a vacant lot, I was playing on it. Is there something we could do with that lot quickly, inexpensively, in the meantime, to maybe supply some more park area for youngsters? I'm not sure. Just throwing that out. Or is that a liability situation?
When it comes to parkland, public parkland, there is a lot that we have to factor in terms of safety and access and parking and, making sure that, it's whatever that activity is. And there are hundreds of different recreational types of, activities, but that it's done correctly. So
just had to throw that out.
I think there are some local kids that go out there and, have a stick and a ball. I saw somebody golfing the other day. she had her wedge and she was shooting some golf balls. So I guess that's one.
Well, there's an opportunity there. If you're sneaking over there and doing something, do it safely. All right, don't tell anyone. In the meantime, there are other areas, and we're talking about the Spalding Park. Aaron, I think, referred to, was that the magazine exchange that you took the tour to?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And they're flourishing out there, and we're thanking the council for getting water down to them. What's the situation out there in terms of expanding that park some more?
Well, we've got great opportunity. And, when one place opens up and we create a new space for a business to grow, and it's wonderful to see these businesses grow, it creates opportunities for other businesses to move into those locations that they vacated. And so this is a wonderful thing that sort of leapfrogs and creates other opportunities for smaller businesses to grow and move into those areas. So we still are working on an opportunity to fund some additional sewer infrastructure that's needed out there to also expand our employment land. And so we're continually working on that. But it's wonderful to see industry and businesses investing in Spalding. You know, there was a number that we heard on the tour that, you know, that big mill that took up acres of land employed about 160 people. And today, with all the businesses that are in place in Spalding, they're employing, I think they said,
over 800.
Really?
That many there?
Yeah. So it's absolutely, that's a great picture of how we have diversified our economy. And it has been a positive. We've taken a negative of a big plant shutting down, and we've made it a positive. And so that's what this employment land can do and can continue to do, because we still have additional space for additional businesses to go in to up that number even further.
Now, those are two areas of economic development that I think the city has been wanting to. Are there other areas that we're talking about for economic development?
Well, one example is on the kind of smaller side, the entrepreneurial side, and I think we've talked about it on your show before, Chuck, but the 1 million cups that has been going on almost every week for about a year now downtown, where young, or not young in age, but people starting out a business can have a chance to pitch some ideas. There's often between 20 and 40 people that attend every week. And get some feedback from, you know, just live feedback on what their business concept idea is. Kim Fries is a person in the community. She's a former Rogue Community College professor who has just recently received a grant from the Urban Renewal Agency to start up a innovation hub. She's calling it the Nexus. What is she calling it? The Nexus Innovator or something like that, in the Caveman Plaza, and that will be a space where entrepreneurs can come and do a number of different trainings, receive hands-on tools for, you know, building their craft, getting more training on how to access insurance and things like that. So on the entrepreneurial side, I think there's some exciting things happening.
All right. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen, here on KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon. Once again, we're going to remind you the phone number is 541-472-1270. We'll ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news, and it's coming up here in a moment right here on KAJO.
Welcome to the most
Tuesday Talk Show continues this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for your ears this morning. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, the number is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the talk that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you hear your question or comment to our guest, City Manager Aaron Kubik, Community Development Director Brad Clark. And gentlemen, welcome back. We've been talking about the community development and, of course, the big meeting coming up later this week. Planning session.
Strategic planning session.
That's coming up. That's Thursday and Friday of this week.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to review what we're doing there?
Well, one of the things I wanted to do is before the break, the one thing I wanted to add with regards to economic development is there's something really exciting here in Grants Pass. Our talk about economic development and our plans about economic development just aren't plans, or they just aren't things on a sheet of paper. We really are living it. We have a culture that's being developed because all the right pieces are being put into place, and you can see it, you can feel it, you could touch it. We have a city council who's done a lot of great investment in trying to begin and create a culture that supports entrepreneurs. We have the incubator that's been talked about. We have to help fund Main Street. We have Million Cups. We have people investing in our community and building their businesses. This is all things you can see, touch, feel. We're developing a wonderful culture here in Grants Pass, and it's really exciting to see. It's something that a lot of communities don't have. So it's great to be a part of it. It's great to be a part of all the people and the positive energy that is starting to happen. And it's growing. It's been growing for the past couple of years, and it's super.
All right. You're beginning to see it. Well, beginning to see it. More and more things are happening that you can see and feel and touch.
Yes.
Just like Aaron said.
Yep.
Let's go back to the Washington and Midland property. Just one thought popped in my head. It has a close proximity to Dollar Mountain. Are the consultants aware of that situation? And could we put something in there that would complement that situation or add to the Dollar Mountain opportunities?
Well, you know, yeah.
Threw a curve to you. Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. We've the Tourism Advisory Committee, Parks Advisory Committee, Travel Oregon. There's just so many players with the Dollar Mountain project. We're clearly trying to manage that with some of the the safety issues. Anytime you put 12 miles of mountain bike trail onto a fairly steep hill, there's things that can happen. So I think we've done a good job at thinking through working with public safety, working with our state partners in terms of wildfire risk and anything else that might happen. That I think we've got that covered through the permit that we got through Josephine County. Addresses a lot of that side of it. But to your point, I think this is very much a long-term vision. As we start to see users, the types of users that come that want to mountain bike there, that want to hike it, get a pulse on where that's going. Are there overnight stays associated with some of these? Are they coming from out of town during the shoulder season? Because, that mountain is able to be biked on a little bit longer than, say, in Eugene area, where there's also a lot of mountain biking. We'll definitely be tracking that. There's two new kiosks that were put up there to kind of put maps and information and other things. We're looking at maybe adding a couple of amenities like benches near the top, near some key viewpoints. The consultant for the Midland Washington will be apprised of that for sure, and sort of integrate that into where are some opportunities to make some connections.
Are we ready right now to really put Dollar Mountain out there and say, here's an attraction in Grants Pass, come along, we've got a great river, bring your mountain bike and enjoy what we've got here, or come along and compete if you're at the collegiate level?
We are. We had a pretty good size open house, a ribbon cutting six, eight weeks ago. We had over 100 people attend that.
It was amazing.
And there were several from the Willamette Valley that came down for that event. I talked to a few of them. They're very excited about it. Travel Oregon is going to be having their annual conference, which about 600 people attend. That's coming up here in early March. And there's a lot of press that kind of gets generated from those types of conferences. Dollar Mountain is going to be one of the features of that conference. We're going to have a spot where we can kind of highlight the mountain. So lots of good things happening there. If you want another project, though, another one that is also we just did the notice to proceed yesterday, and that's for the Riverside Park Bandshell stage.
Ah.
So that is fully funded, fully designed, engineered. It's going to be about 800 square feet, about 50 feet across, about 25 feet deep, permanent 4-foot stage that kind of sits back there, not too far from the softball fields in Riverside Park. Exciting. So the stage will be there all year. Then there's going to be a collapsible band shell that will be up there, for 6 to 8 months of the year. So nice space. There'll be three-phase power that'll be extended to it. It'll be rentable. There'll be concerts in the park. We'll be able to host there. That will be their home. So we're excited to have that partnership with the chamber. And anybody that's going through Riverside Park will start to see some shovels in the ground here pretty soon.
So that'll be happening soon, hopefully in place by this summer. Is that right?
It will. It will. By the time Concerts in the Park in June goes, that stage will be up.
That's going to be exciting.
That will be. That'll be a great addition to a great park.
Yeah. And, going back to Dollar Mountain, if for the listeners of the show, if you have not done Dollar Mountain and hiked it, I would highly encourage it. You know, I used to do Cathedral Hills a lot, either mountain biking or jogging or hiking. And that's nice and pretty out there. But Dollar Mountain, the views that you have, and, you know, it's steep, but we have a lot of switchbacks, cutbacks, et cetera. And it's not that difficult of just a general hike. So if you want to have, and right now we've got wonderful crisp days, it's not raining. It would be a great opportunity to go out and take a look at it and see our community from that type of elevation. It's beautiful out there.
All right. I enjoy those crisp days too.
Yes.
Said a 20-year veteran of Fairbanks, Alaska. So we know what crisp is.
I would imagine.
All right. Tell me about more of economic development here. Every time I have somebody come in here, we're talking about economic development. let's look 5 years in advance. What do you see happening here, Brad?
5 years in advance. Well, I mean,
open your crystal ball.
Yeah.
Wave your magic wand.
Yeah. You know, there's like, I mean, the strong economies are the ones that are most diverse, you know, that stand the test of time, let's say that anyway. And I think that's a huge strength of Grants Pass. There's the medical side, you know, there's the small manufacturing side, there's the tourism side. We have a wonderful eating, you know, drinking establishment, retail culture that is doing great here. Somebody just told me a couple of weeks ago, you know, they live in the Ashland area. Ashland used to be that spot. Let's go to downtown Ashland and get some good eats. And they said, Grants Pass. They come up from Ashland to go to downtown Grants Pass to find good eateries. And so I think that part of the economy. And then, you know, the financial service sector, we've got some wonderful locally community oriented banking. So I think the diversity is super important for Grants Pass to continue to focus on and build that aspect so that when the ups and downs happen, which they always do, and we're currently in a little bit of slump, the production, and if you talk to some of the local businesses, which we just finished a 2-month survey of about 85 different local businesses, one of the messages is we're kind of playing it conservative right now. You know, they're not adding a lot of staff, they're not letting a lot of staff go, but they're also not adding. There's some caution in the air, but I think for us, when you think 5 years out, to understand what our existing local businesses and employers need is fundamental. And we can't put a lot of attention on the so-called smokestack chasing. You try to bring in the big, you know, the big employers who are going to, quote-unquote, save the day.
That's, Ford Motor's not coming in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't heard that. Have you?
No. Okay. Vicious rumor. Vicious rumor.
So yeah, I think that's really where, in my opinion, where our strength is currently, and that's what you want to do with local economies: build on who you are, the assets that we have that are here, and that includes the types of training, skills, workforce that we have, and you know, there's I think a lot of optimism that come out of the survey that we just did. Kind of alongside that cautionary tale, but there's, you know, they're also feeling good, better about the housing, better about the daycare. You know, those are two big issues, in terms of if you own a business and you want to expand or bring one here, those are two king, alongside education. Education, housing, daycare, are often three big ones. And, I think we're doing much better in each of those areas. You know, to continue the conversations with Rogue Community College, building where we can train in the right areas where our businesses really need the skill sets and where they see the next 5 years. And we need to keep that communication channel strong.
Well, you're painting a vibrant picture 5 years down the road. controlled growth, but in the meantime, maintaining the health and personality of Grants Pass proper.
Exactly.
All right, gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show, and ladies, too. And stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back, everyone. We're just sitting here talking about fun things. As a matter of fact, we've got City Manager Aaron Kubik, Community Development Director Brad Clark here with us. We've been talking about things that are coming for Grants Pass. We've been talking about strategic planning. And we're coming down to about our last 10 minutes here of the program. Is there anything that we've overlooked or that needs to be reiterated here, Aaron?
No, I think we've hit a lot of great things, I'm hoping what the listeners are hearing is that we've got a very bright future, and we've got a lot of wonderful things in place right now, from a community standpoint, an energy level, a focus, council leadership. That it's all coming together. It's great. And, you know, we're dealing with, and like Bradley said, from an economic perspective, we're doing the best we can with what we have to focus on from a local perspective. You know, there's state issues and those kind of things. And, but from a local perspective, I think we're doing very well.
All right, Brad, well, what do we need to talk about here? What have we missed? Have we missed anything?
Well, I think it might be good to highlight, the Owl Lot Plaza. That project, kicks off next week. An idea more than 30 years in the making, to have a downtown dedicated plaza. Now, this will be a hybrid. I think we've talked about it on your show before. You know, there's still going to be parking. We're actually adding two parking spaces. but it's going to be, reservable so that, you know, for some of those large events like Art Along the Rogue and, there may be some First Friday events, where we're going to have a, you know, Fifth Street is going to be completely torn up. So I guess that's part of why I want to bring it up here, because there's going to be some chaos downtown.
Beware, folks. Be advised.
Yes, yes. I think patience is requested from now through May. That's the time frame that we have, and so all of Owl Plaza, the parking lot, Owl Plot, is going to be completely torn up. Fifth Street between G and H is going to be completely torn up. There's going to be new infrastructure put in, two new intersections at G and Fifth and H and Fifth. The plaza is going to have brick. So, and then there's also going to be some inlaid brick along the side. So a big, exciting project, but it is going to be messy for a while.
Yeah, we'll get back to that brick thing here in a moment or two. We do have a phone call coming in. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guest today?
Yeah, I've seen on that $8 Mountain bike trails and stuff, there's a parking lot on the north top of B Street. Is there another one on the Highland side from what I hear?
Yes, there is. The Highland Loop parking lot was finished up a couple months ago. So, yeah, if you go up, you know, kind of past the schools there, and then you can take a left on, I think it's Woodbrook, I think is the street name. And then, yeah, there's a new parking lot, about 25 to 30 spaces up there.
Does that answer your question, sir?
Close enough. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for your call. At any rate, we mentioned bricks. Can we buy a brick?
We did open up the Buy a Brick campaign.
Oh, shucks.
We,
yes.
We ran it for a couple months, then closed it. But we reopened it just recently. So absolutely. There's on the website, there's a spot where you can go and buy a brick.
Well, how much does a brick cost me? I put him on the spot, didn't I?
$250?
It's $250, and there's limited quantity, so get them while we still have them.
Okay, all right.
Right?
Yeah. We have another call coming in. Good morning. You're on the air. You have a question or comment for our guests?
I do. I was wondering about the changes to the Owl parking lot and if there would be a new entrance or exit added to it for safety so that the alleyway wasn't the only entrance and exit.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. The engineers did look at that quite a bit. The design does not have any new entrances. There are going to be improved, of course, the ones onto the alley, but but as designed, they just did not feel like, from a traffic flow standpoint, bringing new driveway approaches onto H or onto 5th was really going to function well over the long term. So to answer your question, no, it's still designed with the alley being the only vehicular access. There'll be no curbs, there'll be bollards up, so you know you can certainly easily get it from a pedestrian and bike standpoint, but not vehicles.
Does that help, ma'am?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, anything else?
That's it, thank you.
All right, thank you for your call. I suppose adding that would cost parking too. Cost a parking space of you. I don't know.
It would.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Gentlemen, we've got about 4 minutes left. I'll give you each two to close things out. What do you need to hear from the people, and what do people need to know, Brad?
What do we need to hear from the people? I think that once the strategic plan process is done and we start to kind of kick off a couple of these opportunity plan public input things, we definitely want to hear folks from that on that. I think just being communicative, and that goes two ways. I mean, we certainly, from a community development standpoint, with our permitting role, we want to hear how we're doing on that, because we know we can always make improvements there. On the parks, we'd love to hear feedback, what people want. Right now, the council is wanting to hear from people on two particular things.
Reinhardt Park.
Park, with the potential new amenity that would replace the fishing pond in Reinhardt Park. So that's going to be an opportunity for folks to give some more feedback. We have completed a survey on that, but, there'll be more opportunity. And then in Riverside, the caretaker's cottage, we are going to be putting out two surveys here in a few weeks. We're designing the surveys right now to get some feedback on the proposal we have on the table to have the caretaker's cottage, the old Reed building in Riverside, be converted to lodging. So watch out for those surveys.
All right. So people will have a chance to give their input on that particular situation. Okay.
Indeed.
All right. All right, Aaron, close us out here. What do people need to know? What's on your agenda?
Well, I think what Bradley was talking about, we're trying to get a lot of input on a number of different projects from a policy perspective and where we're going in the community. City Council does want to hear from their constituents. So definitely please reach out to them. Their contact information and a Mayor Council email is on our website. And please go to our website, or you can give us a call at 450-6000, and we can get you in touch with some of the council members if you so desire with regards to any kind of policy issues. And from an operational issue, if you've got questions about how the city's operating or what's going on this street and why are we doing this and et cetera, or you've got suggestions for us and how we can do better from a service level perspective, whether it be doing overlays on the streets or whether it be processing a permit for a building, we want to hear from you. My colleagues and my ex-team, the department directors, Bradley being one of those, we're here to listen. We're here to do what we can do to service the community. So if you've got suggestions, if you've got concerns, if you've got kudos, please reach out to us. We're also available. You can call our general number at 450-6000 and we'll get you to the right person because we are at our best when we hear from you. And it is truly, it takes a community to build a community. So that's an important piece.
The website is easy, relatively easy to negotiate. Also, I am on there almost daily checking things out, just making sure that we're trying to keep up with what's going on in the city. Final thought, either one of you, raise your hand. You're dismissed, lady.
I think we're good.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show. All right. Thanks go out to City Manager Aaron Kubik, Community Development Director Brad Clark for their time today and for your ears. Stay tuned. More to come right here on KAJO Radio.